This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has mercy upon us all and that He guides us all to the straight path. Allahumma ameen. Is for me personally always an honor, and I'm always happy to come to Green Lane Masjid. It is a masjid which I have known of for many years, and alhamdulillah the brothers or whoever has some form of participation in the masjid always make sure, mashallah tabarakallah, that things are done beautifully and to a very high standard. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of those brothers, or if there's any sisters as well, for any work that they may do to ensure that this, mashallah, blessed masjid achieves all of its aims. And I also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward every single one of you for attending this evening. I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to benefit from whatever is said. Anything that is said which is correct is from the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and any shortcomings or mistakes that I may make is from my own weaknesses and shortcomings. Now, as I'm aware of, I've been loosely following over the past few weeks that the lectures that have been happening on a Saturday night have been tackling very important topics, especially because it is dealing with topics which are extremely important to the society that we are living in. Now, society itself will shape an individual. It will shape you. For example, and you can probably attest to this, that if you're from a particular background, what I mean is that your usul, your original background, is, let's say, from Pakistan, or it is from Somalia, and you've been living here for quite a few years, it is quite likely that the Pakistani in the UK differs from the Pakistani from Pakistan in the way that they understand the world, in the way that they present themselves, the level of education possibly. Likewise, those who have families back in Somalia, for example, not just these two countries, but any Muslim country or any place for that matter, you'll find that those two people who have very similar backgrounds from where their origin is, yet however, the environment where that they've been brought up in is extremely different. And it is a fact. It is a fact that the environment that you do live in will have an impact on you. Now, how much that will have an impact on you, there is a lot of factors. Now, I'm not a sociologist, it's not my speciality in dealing with these things. I'm sure that many studies have been done on such things. But there are certain things which, you know, you can think, you know, use your common sense. Like the person's own personality, is a strong personality? Is it not such a strong personality? Quite a forward person, or they an introvert, okay, an extrovert? Different types of people that the society will differ, that, you know, affect them in different ways. Now, especially now, in the time that we are living, 2014, things are moving extremely quickly. What I mean by that specifically is that what we are exposed to, that what we can see, that what we can hear, it is very different from, let's say, for example, 15 years ago. And I'm sure that many of us who are able to, you know, remember that far back and even further, that things are changing very rapidly, very fast. Now, based upon these very fast changes, and we can say that a person may be affected that much quicker. Whereas information, maybe at one time, it took a while to reach people. How to influence people once upon a time was just radio. How would you influence the minds of people to convey information was by radio once upon a time. Then that extended to television, then it extended to, if you like, you know, 20, 30 years ago to the modern day computer, 20 years ago then the internet. You could reach much more, you know, millions of people at the touch of a button. So things are changing very, very quickly. And as a Muslim, as a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful that we are not affected in a negative way. Because as things are changing very quickly, I myself may change very quickly and I may not know about it. I may not take hold of myself until the single most important thing that I have, which is my deen, I may lose. So it is very important to be aware of your surroundings, to be aware of that what you may face from one day to the next. Now specifically we're going to talk about social media, which is relatively, it's a new phenomena. It's something new. And for many of us, we're still adjusting to it. We are still adjusting. It is a new thing for us. Yes, okay, Facebook, you know, it's been for 10 years. Twitter, a little bit less than that. But we are still adjusting to that. And i.e., what I mean by that something that's been going on for 10 years, something that's been going on for a few years, it is sometimes difficult for us to make a conclusion, the effects of that particular product or whatever it is on society, not unless you have an extended amount of time to see how this affects people. Sometimes something is new, we don't know the real impact of it. Only if you see something, the studies done on it, and we can look at it closely, we can say, yeah, this is beneficial or this is harmful. Now, social media in itself is a tool. It is a wasil, it is a means. It is a means of exchanging information. Now, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you look at the main or major principles that we can extract from the Quran and the Sunnah, it always is about bringing benefit. Bringing benefit and repelling harm. Okay? Alcohol, for example, it is about bringing benefit to us and repelling any harm. Alcohol is harmful to us, therefore we stay away from it. So any command that you find that Allah Jalla wa'ala has commanded us with, that there is a greater benefit in that. Maybe there is some difficulty. However, there is a greater benefit in this dunya and in the akhirah. And anything which is harmful to us, it means that even though that a person may extract some benefit from that, there is overall or a majority harm in that matter. So social media, a wasila, it is a means of exchanging information, simple as that. It's exchanging information. A knife is a tool which is used to cut food. It is to cut garments or materials. A knife can be very beneficial and can help us in so many ways. And on the other hand, a knife can be something which is very dangerous. It can be used as a weapon and it can be used to take the life of a person. But it is a means. So you have to go back to the one who is holding that knife. A child, for example, has to be warned not to touch knives because they can cut themselves. They may harm another person. Guns, for example, they are a means. They may be a beneficial means in defending oneself or hunting. They serve as a good purpose for that. Has a beneficial purpose. But it also has great danger that it can take the life of a person. These are all means. So we have to look at the individual. Are they capable? Do they have the mental capacity to understand and use that means correctly? Now when you look at social media, of course, there are no, you don't need state permission to use Facebook like you need a gun. You need state permission for that. You need a license. But you don't need a license to enter into social media. However, the dangers of social media may be far greater than that of a gun or a knife. Because it could lead to what? Over a short or an extended you know, amount of time, it could lead to that person having doubts about their deen because of the information that they have been exposed to. They could be involved in matters which would involve them speaking on behalf of Allah Jalla wa'ala and His Nabi alayhi salam and making up false information. So it is very important for the Muslim, both male and female, to realize what they are dealing with. An-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he told us, "Ad-dalu 'ala al-khayri kafa'ilihi," that the one who shows good, you show somebody good, and then that person does good, that you will have the reward of that person when they do that good, because you taught them. So the great ajr, the great reward that would involve in having children, for example, and you teaching them to pray, teaching them to say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, every time that they say that, you as a parent, you would receive reward as well for that. Likewise, if a person is to teach something which is wrong, a form of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person who commits that wrong because of you will carry that responsibility, you'll carry that sin. And as long as they carry it and do that, you will have responsibility for that as well. Now imagine once upon a time, let's say for example, that you're sitting with somebody and you say the information, whatever it was, to do this action, and it's wrong. And then that person goes ahead and they continue to do that. It's just one person. Now imagine that on a mass scale. For example, Facebook. That you say something, you advise somebody, not only, or even Twitter, you advise somebody to do something regarding the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and involves disobedience, involves false information, not to be verified. Not only maybe one person, or two, or three, but that gets spread amongst whatever friends that you have. Then that gets shared to another person, and gets a number of likes, and gets shared, and it gets so on, and multiplied, and multiplied, and multiplied. When you look at it this way, that here you have a means of propagating information to possibly hundreds, if not thousands, and Allahu A'lam, whoever they are, could be millions of people. At the click of a button, they could be making, on the one hand, of course, they may be receiving from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many hasanat, many rewards. And on the other hand, they may receive how many sins for that. So before that person presses enter, they should verify, be careful of that, what they are sharing, or what that they are, from their own work, putting on their pages. Because it's not, you know, sufficient to say that I just pressed share. I mean, I wasn't the one who instigated that particular message. I just shared and passed it on. You're one of those people in the links. You're supposed to verify information. How many ahadith, if we can call them ahadith, how many statements you found, or that you do find, that this is what the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he said. There's no source. Is it the correct translation? It's like, where did this come from? But how many people that then they pass that on? So to just, because the point I want to make here is that social media is a means. And this means, this wasila, has the ability to cause great benefit to a person and great harm. For a Muslim, that is. Now, I certainly believe myself that further studies, further research really needs to be invested, or to look into, you know, this phenomena of social media. What is the real effects on the shabab, on the youth? Because it may be the fact that it is the youth who are utilizing this type of spreading information, as opposed to maybe those who are older in age. So there's another, yet another test, another trial, another tribulation that our youngsters, that they have to handle. Something that many of us, certainly myself, I didn't have that. This didn't exist when I was younger. There were other trials, but you can see the severity of these trials, that they are increasing. The likelihood or the dangers of a person being affected in their deen are far greater now. As time goes, you know, through, away from Ahdun Nabuwa, from the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the further you go away from that, you can see the increase of trials, you can see the increase of dangers regarding one's deen. For many of us, it may not be very important. It is okay for my son or my daughter to have a page. But bear in mind how many people, and it's the reality, my dear brothers and sisters, it is a reality that people who use these or this social media, which is, I think, subhanAllah, a manifestation, it is a clear proof when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this life is a deception. This dunya is a ghurur. It's a form of deception. That the person has thousands of friends, but really, you don't know who they are. This Facebook, or the social media, I don't want to keep saying this particular Facebook, because it does have benefits. It can benefit. But when we look at the benefit and the harm, you really have to think, as a father, as a person, as a guardian, a person responsible for any youth, is this something which is of benefit to us as an ummah? Maybe for some it is better that they stay away from it, because they cannot control themselves. They make up fake names, false names. They instill themselves as public figures. They give themselves titles. And then they have thousands of, upon thousands of likes, like friends. And they become, within their own selves, they have this ghulu. They have this deception within themselves that they have become something. And that the shaitan can quite easily, you know, with their ego, become very boastful and become very arrogant. The dangers of such a means cannot be underestimated, my dear brothers and sisters. How many incidents that I have heard and come across, even yourselves. Let's take something which is common to us all. When we're growing up, we finish in university, looking for a job, and then we look to get married. Now the, if you like, old-fashioned way maybe is dying out, that you're unable to ask maybe your family members, because it's a long process, and I need to get to know them. That person, I'm, you know, prospective husband or wife, I need to get to know who they are. And if I go through the traditional way, then really I don't know who I'm marrying. So let me take the social media way. Okay, I'll do it, you know, the halal way. Of course, they've been deceived to think this is halal, to trick and deceive other people, and have conversations with the other gender. And then how many internet marriages that you hear about? I've heard of so many internet marriages. You ask, how did you meet? Well, we met through the internet. How did you meet through the internet? Because usually a way down the line they've got problems. If something doesn't begin correctly, if something doesn't start according to the way that Allah Jalla wa Ala and His Messenger alayhi salam advised us to, more often than not, it takes a wrong path. It usually has a bad outcome. So there's a great danger in that you believe that you can hide behind the screen. You can hide behind your keyboard and type and pass on and even slander. So the shaitan will come within that person and ask, tell him or tell her, to try and find a wife or find a husband in a way that Allah Azza wa Jal is not pleased with. But you have nothing to lose, because you have a fake name, you have fake information about yourself. Maybe, ayyadhan billah, that the male opens up an account and says that their name is Khadija or Fatima. They pretend to be a woman. How many times have you heard this? Maybe you haven't heard of it, but the reality is, للأسف, unfortunately, a person will pose as a woman, or a woman will pose as a man, because I really want to get to know that brother, or I really want to get to know that sister. Now, I don't want them to know, or get to know them from through like a brother-sister kind of relationship, because they will behave in a particular way. Allow me to deceive them. If I can speak to them as though I'm a girl, maybe I will get to know the real her. Or if I can, you know, the sister says, I'll pretend to be a man over through social media, maybe I'll get to know really what he's like through deception. This is the danger that the person exposes themselves to when using such means. Now, every single one of you has to question and ask themselves, is this means, what is in front of me, is this of a greater or a greater benefit to me or a greater harm? And how much time am I using this? Because you ask yourself, well, how do I know if it's beneficial for me? How do I know if it's harmful? Maybe there's something on the social media which I didn't ask to see. It's not good. I wish I didn't see it. I didn't ask for it. But the vast majority of what I have or appears on my page is of benefit. How am I supposed to judge what is good for me and what's bad for me, what's harmful to me? I believe you should look through a number of things to make this judgment on yourself, whether you should be using this or not. First and foremost, look at the amount of time that you spend when using this or whatever form of social media that you are using. How much per day? And in any one day, how many times do you go to that particular page? How many times do you do it? If, for example, you find that within the day that you have gone to that particular social media means that you're using, and you go to it more than 20 times, count yourself if it's possible, more than 20 times, each time that you have looked at it, how many times did you actually benefit from it? Because maybe you benefited once, and you discarded all other 19 times, which were a complete waste of time. That you opened up the page, and somebody has typed, I just woke up from sleep and had breakfast. Or, I'm on my way to university, and I missed the bus. It's information which is completely useless to me. No benefit. I wasted my time to open my phone, and the phone, subhanAllah, makes it so easy for you to use these things. When you're in the masjid, you're waiting for salah, you just flick it open, see what's going on, see where people are, see what they're doing. Or I'm at the dinner table and I'm eating, and you get it out and you flick it. It's like an addiction. It becomes an addiction. If you get cut off from the internet just for 2 or 3 days, when was the last time that happened to you? How do you feel? How have you felt if you didn't have a connection with the internet? You feel as though you have been starved. You feel as though you've been starved of information. Now, the information was beneficial to you or not? Really, you know, most of us don't really think about the quality of information that comes our way. But what I really want to now focus on is the preservation of our youth. The preservation of, alhamdulillah, I can see many young shabab that they're sitting in this gathering. They don't know life before Facebook. They don't know life before Twitter. They don't know life without internet. They just know a life that, well, this is just normal. This just exists like cars exist and like aeroplanes. That's all they know. Now, what are the potential dangers that may affect young shabab? I'm sure that the previous few weeks that you have gone through a number of important topics, all of these things, that they can be all go back to this one source and all be found on this one source, and that is social media in their different forms. Whether it is seeing things that you shouldn't see, pornography and things like that, that can all be accessed and seen through these social media. Now, how do we protect our youth? You as a parent, as a guardian, as an advisor, and our deen is a deen of a nasiha, of sincere advice. If you believe that a person may feel or may be affected by such things, you should be honest and clear with them that you using that is of great danger for you. Explain to your sons, explain to your daughters that these things, social media, can potentially be of great harm. Because even though that they will say, but I make sure that my things are clean and I don't look at bad things. The point is that these social media, it is not about that what you put on it. It is about what you expose yourself to, in that what people will give to you without you even asking for it. Now the Sharia is based, as I mentioned earlier, about repelling harm. And even though you may be within, you can control certain things. For example, there is an opinion that says that women, they shouldn't visit the graveyard. Okay, for example. There's other opinions that say that they shouldn't frequently go to the graveyard. We're not going to get into issues whether what is the stronger opinion. This is not the platform for that. But the point is, let's take the position that, or explain the position that it is not allowed for a woman to visit the graveyard. Now, the woman would say, but I can control myself, because some of the evidence, some logical answers that the ulama that they give for that, is that when a woman, because of their nature, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكِرُ كَالْأُنْثَى, and that the male is not like the female, that when the female, that they go to the graveyard, emotionally, they are generally more affected than a man. And their response and their actions may then have an effect on other people, which then goes against certain principles about protecting and covering the woman. So her going to the graveyard and maybe her, you know, becoming upset and crying and things like that, but it's fairly controlled. But the point is that the man seeing another woman in that state, okay, maybe cause a fitna for him as a test to see. He doesn't want to see this. It's sad for him, it may affect him. So even though she says to herself, I can control myself, I am in charge of what is going on, she doesn't have control how the other people will be affected. Okay? This is just an example. The point is what? That sometimes you within yourself, yes, you may be in control of things, but what you do not control is how other people are affected by what is happening with yourself. The same principle can be implemented here with these social medias. That you yourself, yes, you may be able to control good reminders. You know, cutting and pasting a translation of the meanings of certain ayat from the Quran. Completely authentic. Good benefit, and you give it to the people. Then you may have the response from other people, which could involve very dangerous things, harmful things. So you personally have to look at, is this something which I want to get involved in and allow my youth to be involved in? Because it's not necessarily something they have full control over. And this is one of the dangers of social media, in that you do not have full control of what is happening in that what you are involved in. This is key. Because you may get involved in something, and you have full control from the beginning to the end, what you're going to expose yourself to, what you're going to do, what you're not going to do. However, social media and the nature of it is that the vast majority of the information that you see and come go through, you have no control over it at all. So how is it that we are going to then now nurture our children, protect our children in a way that when they become adults and that they begin making decisions for themselves, doing things for themselves, making decisions for themselves, that they are then capable, of becoming people who will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see Islam as the single most important thing that they need to adhere to in their lives. كُلُّكُمْ رَاءٌ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ أَرْرَعِيَّتِهِ, that all of you are responsible, or all of you are like shepherds, and all of you are responsible and will be questioned about the responsibilities that were given to you. So every father and every mother should be fully aware of what their sons and daughters are getting involved in, specifically regarding social media. Now, it takes different forms. It is not just Facebook, it is not just Twitter. It comes in different forms. For example, WhatsApp. This is another means of sharing information, making groups on in a different platform, different format. But still the same dangers can happen. Even, what is it called? Penguin Club. Penguin Club? Or I think it's called Penguin Club. Club Penguin. Sorry. Club Penguin. Very innocent looking game. However, that the young child, and it's aimed, I've done some research, and it's aimed between children between 6 and 14. That child will, shows how much research I've done, I didn't get the name properly. Anyhow, that the child will choose a particular penguin, design it, and that they will go to different lands and different places, and that they can meet different people. They can engage with different people behind the face of a penguin. Now, who's this penguin? Can you guarantee that that penguin is, not the penguin, of course, but that person is between 6 and 14 years old? No, you cannot. You cannot. Because you can have conversations. I'm sure that there are privacy or, you know, security levels. I'm not saying it's, you know, something from shaitan and that you should stay away from it. It may be fun. However, that there are certain protocols that you can put in place to ensure that your child is protected. Even yourself, I'm sure you don't play Club Penguin, those who are over 14, but there are certain security things that you can put in place to ensure that it doesn't cause any harm to you or your son, I should say, and or your daughter. When you get past that age and then you become a teenager, you can legally or officially open a Facebook page, because 13 is officially the limit that you can start opening a page. You've moved from Club Penguin and you go into Facebook. The privacy settings, how does it work? People share with things with you, and you, why are people sharing this with me? The things that they give to you, I didn't ask for this. Things appear in the deen which are not from the deen at all. Now, I've been a Muslim for about 20 years. For the first, let's say, 15 years of my life, even more than that actually, I never ever heard the word Jum'ah Mubarak. I never, it's just in a personal example. I never heard this in my life. Jum'ah Mubarakah. I never heard it in my life. It is now, you find it, people are sending you Jum'ah Mubarakah, Jum'ah Mubarakah. Where did this, now there's a big discussion, is it allowed for you to say Jum'ah Mubarakah? Is it bid'ah? Is it not bid'ah? Is it like just like you saying Eid Mubarak or not? Another discussion, another controversy, another matter which busies the Muslims. And in the end, what is the thamarah? What is the fruit? Either you're going to continue doing it, saying Jum'ah Mubarak, even though you don't want it, people still keep sending it to you. And then you'll keep advising people, please don't send it to me. It's an innovation into the deen. And we get busy with all of these debates. I certainly believe that, and Allah knows best, and this is a personal opinion, that quite possibly, Allahu A'lam, that social media, and maybe I need to reevaluate my own Facebook page. that there is more, not necessarily harm, but maybe there is potentially more of non-benefit in this than there is benefit. I don't necessarily want to say it's harm, but something which is of completely no benefit to you. You don't get anything from it. It's just a waste of time. The vast majority of that what you read or that what you come across, I believe it's personal. Maybe it's just the circle of what I'm exposed to. I'm not saying this is necessarily the case with everybody. I do think that the vast majority of that, what is available or what I come across, is a waste of time. It's a complete waste of time and serves very little or of no benefit. No benefit. There is, of course, the other side of that, that you can cause and have a great positive, a big positive on millions of people, thousands of people, by just reminding them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want to condemn the whole thing. But there may be, if a person is able to, if they say it maybe once a day or twice a day, they're not reading through or sifting through, you know, tens or hundreds of messages, and it's a waste of time. So look at yourself, how you interact with such means of spreading information. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from harm, and you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you beneficial knowledge. And Nabi alayhi salam used to ask Allah azza wa jal, Allahum inna nas'aluka ilmun yanfa. O Allah, we ask you of beneficial knowledge, and we seek refuge from ilmun la yanfa, from knowledge that does not benefit. So if it is possible over the next day or two or week or whatever, whenever you have time, if you're involved in such social media, if you're involved in such social media, then evaluate the usage, your own usage, and what you come across. It may be that you need to refine. You need to refine your usage of it. Refine maybe the people that you have links with, because maybe they're posting things and you're facilitating them posting nonsense. You know, knock them off, unfriend them, or whatever it is. But really evaluate your interaction with social media. Because it may be the case that shaitan has deceived you and maybe many of us into believing that this is of great benefit. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I would like to have whatever time is remaining, maybe to ask some questions and some discussion, and we can benefit from each other, inshallah ta'ala. So I'll stop here, inshallah ta'ala, and I would like very much maybe to see what thoughts, or maybe even comments. Try to leave it as a comment. If you have any intentions of giving dars, maybe you could make a request to the masjid. جزاكم الله خير وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Yes, brother. Don't feel shy. Maybe the first person will, I'm sure, will trigger off. Yes, brother. Alaykum as-salamu alaykum. What will be spread?
A lie.
A lie.
A lie.
No, lies.
A lie.
No. Yeah, I mean, the brother's asking, Zallah Khair, is it one of the signs or the minor signs of Qiyamah that the spreading of lies will spread quickly? I myself, Allahu A'lam, I don't know if it's one of the signs that lies spreading quickly, but, you know, no doubt the increase of lying and deception and khiyana, this of course in general will be, you know, one of the signs in general, yes, of the signs of qiyamah, minor signs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's message. And no doubt using these social medias is a way of spreading lies very quickly. No. The brother's asking, what is the best way to respond to, you know, false information, innovations, in whatever form that they may come in? The person personally believes that, you know, Jum'ah Mubarak is a bid'ah, is not something that the Prophet ﷺ or the companions used to do. And how do you advise such people? Now, whenever you advise anyone, you should advise them in a wise way, wise, with wisdom, bil hikmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, اُدْعُ إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. That every single one of us, we will call to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we call to the path of Allah, we will do it in one of three ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by saying, call to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala بِالْحِكْمَةِ. Hikmah here, in other verses, can be interpreted as using the Quran and the Sunnah. And also, it's, you know, more literal meaning, with wisdom, in a wise way. وَمَوْعِظَةً حَسَنَةً. And also with a fine admonition. If they are rejecting what you are saying, I from the Quran and Sunnah, or statements of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we don't accept this, then you might need to be a little bit firmer. But do it in a nice way. مَوْعِظَةً حَسَنَةً. Fine admonition. If they continue, وَجَادِلْهُمْ, then debate with them in a good way. Now it depends, maybe you don't know who you are debating with, and sometimes debating on an open platform can cause more fitna than you just leaving that person to do what they're doing. It is not turning your face away from deviation, no. But you sometimes on an open platform, let's talk about whether we should be doing this or not. And everybody is listening. And somehow, subhanAllah, that person is very eloquent. Or that person brings things which may convince people that in the first place weren't convinced. So it is possible to pull that person to one side, take them away from all the people, to control that fitna, that deviation, and advise them in that way, then that would be a more proper way. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, He protects you and protects others. I think always that when dealing with such troublemakers or aspects of deviation, it is always very important that for the sake of preserving the deen, that you always keep the moral high ground. That you do not fall into the way that they may disrespect and devalue, because they have no value for the deen, or they have very little value for implementing the deen. So always remain in a way which is as close as possible to the Quran and Sunnah when advising people. Wallahu ta'ala alam. He's asking a very good question, mashallah. Why is it bad to pass on personal information? Good. You're right in that. I don't want to get into conspiracy theories here. However, whatever information you put out there, it sometimes sticks and you can't get rid of it. And sometimes it's sensitive information. Okay? So I would advise, and Allah knows best, that, you know, information that, you know, people don't need to know, you don't need to tell people about it. Okay, if you're going to use whatever social media that is there, then use it biqadar, to the extent that you don't start disclosing things which then may later in the future, you know, cause you any harm or others harm. Wallahu a'lam. Good question, mashallah. Yes, brother. Alaykum salam. Yes, I see you, yes. What do I think of Mawlid? Time. Yeah. What, on social media? In general? Taib. I've exposed myself, as one does, to social media. I didn't put any privacy settings on making it clear to the type of question that should be asked, really. If we can keep the questions, Allah said, limak, barakallahu feek, to our topic, then it would be easier for us to remember the information that has been discussed here. However, since it has been asked, I'm avoiding the question. I'm not avoiding, I'll answer it. No, don't apologize. Don't apologize about this, okay. And Mawlid al-Nabi, Nabi. Before answering that directly, we have to look at what number of things. It can be answered in, I guess, a number of ways. Is it something that the Prophet ﷺ did? No, it is not. It is something that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum did? No. What about the generation that came after that? No. Okay, generation after that? No. Okay, what about the generation after that? No. Oh, so where did it come from? 5th century, roughly 5th century after Hijrah, it is stated, and Allah knows best, that the Fatimiyun, yani the Shia, in Egypt, are one of the first people to bring about Mawlidun Nabi. Now the fact that somebody would not celebrate the birthday of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam does not mean at all that it is a form of disrespect. Would we say that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu disrespected an-Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam because he didn't celebrate the birthday? Kalla, no way. So how we show our love, how we show our adoration for the most beloved person, a person whom alayhi salatu wasalam we love more than our mother, more than our father, more than our children. Okay, this is part of our iman, we do not deny. The fact that I wouldn't celebrate the mawlid doesn't mean that I am disrespecting an-Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, not at all. So I follow his sunnah in the best way that I can him, and I love him by knowing him, by studying his seerah, the greatest messenger that was ever sent to mankind. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Any other questions, brothers? Yes? If you get a what? Hadith? Yes? Yeah. It's a good question. The brothers, young brother saying, Zallah khair, that if I receive a hadith via WhatsApp, for example, how do I verify if that hadith is authentic? Sah? Yeah. Okay. First of all, I would look at whom I'm receiving the hadith from. Okay, this is what the early generations, that what they would do. They would look at the person whom that they are receiving information from. This is very important. Otherwise we cast doubt on every single person. We don't do that. There's no need for us to cast doubt on every single person that we come across. This is not correct. Because the asal is that if a Muslim, I meet a Muslim, he's my brother and I believe him to be truthful. Because his origin is that he believes in Allah and his messenger alayhi salam. So this is a good start for me. So the person whom that I receive that information from, if I know him to be a trustworthy person, that they're not the kind of person who just passes on false information, okay, and maybe they reference the hadith, then maybe you want to pass that on. If there is a doubt and you are not sure yourself, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. Now the people of knowledge are those whom are well known to be trusted. And there are means, if you can't reach a person, maybe you could ask your father, or you could ask somebody trustworthy to find out the authenticity of that narration. Okay, but it's important, if you have a doubt, not just to spread something. May Allah bless you and bless us all. Barakallahu feek. Yes, brother? Very good question. How do you advise the youth to minimize the usage of social media? Now, the shabab, technically you're a shab until 39. When you become 40, you're no longer shab. So, maybe we're talking about, you know, those youngsters, teenagers specifically. I think the role of parents is extremely important in teaching them and educating them how to use and how to interact with things that they come across daily. If you purchase, for example, a parent, they purchase a phone which enables their child to use social media whenever they like, in secrecy, then that's dangerous. There's a risk to that. There's a potential risk there. Now you may limit that by doing what? The parent has to be kind of smart here. The parent may get them a social media or a phone which, you know, has capabilities of using social media. Okay. However, they'll get them a chip or some form of contract which only allows them to do calls, doesn't have internet. They can only use the internet when they come home. So, you know, there's little things you can do to try and monitor and help your children in the use of internet. Okay? So, you know, I think it's something, as I mentioned to you earlier, that, you know, needs, you know, further investigation and research from all of us to ensure that, you know, we protect ourselves from, you know, potentially harmful things. Because, you know, the greatest danger to any one person is that the person is affected in their deen, that they lose their deen. That's the single most important thing that we have, is our deen. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed revelation to us. And the single most important thing that everything is geared towards is preserving the deen. It supersedes everything. It supersedes the preservation of wealth. It supersedes that. Preserving one's deen is extremely important. So you know your child best, your son or daughter. Speak to them, educate them. Don't just be black and white. No, you can't do it. Why? No, you just can't. And it, as Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, "Kullu mamnu'an marghubun fi." Everything that has been made, you know, you should stay away from it. Then there's a desire for that. And the example of Adam alayhi salam, who's in the Jannah, everything was made halal for him alayhi salam and his wife Hawa. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "La taqraba hadhihi shajara." Stay away from this one tree. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Iblis alayhi la'natullah, deceived Adam alayhi salam, and then of course, you know, the rest of the story that you know. So, you know, be clever, be aware of what your children may be exposed to. Wallahu a'lam. Maybe 5 minutes left. Yes. Mm-hmm. Is it okay to have WhatsApp? Sorry? Why is it bad? You want? Is it? Can you have WhatsApp on your phone? No, it's not necessarily bad. It's not necessarily bad. WhatsApp can be good, because maybe maybe things change in 10 years' time. But let's just say, you know, people are still using WhatsApp. Okay, maybe you're late coming home, and your father can use WhatsApp to tell you, come home. So it can have benefit. Isn't it right? So it has benefits. No, it's not all bad. No. Yes? Threats? How do you react to threats on social media? And this is a reality. It's an extremely important question, mashallah. They call it cyberbullying. Cyberbullying. This is when the person, and it doesn't need explaining to you, and I'm sure you understand what it is. How do you react towards it? Well, it depends really on the threat. How that person or the individual is being affected, and how they're being spoken to, or I would advise, of course, immediately, if any one person feels threatened, no person should feel threatened. You should feel secure. You should feel protected. That if you feel that you're being threatened by anybody, by anything, that you should tell your parents immediately. And do not allow this kind of behavior. It's not acceptable. And don't ever think that whatever they say to you, that if you tell anybody, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you and never allow anything to happen to you except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission. And remember that this advice is a well-known hadith. The hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. It's a hadith found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. The Prophet alayhi salam spoke to Ibn Abbas. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma at the time was a young child, young shab, 10, 11 years old. And in that hadith, he said to Ibn Abbas, the Prophet alayhi salam, that is, that remember Allah and He will remember you. And towards the end of the hadith, the Prophet alayhi salam says, remember that if the whole of mankind, jinnakum وإنسهم جنسهم إنسهم وإن جنهم. All mankind and all jinn, they came together to harm you. Never would they be able to harm you except by that what Allah Azza wa Jal had decreed. And likewise, if they all came together to benefit you with something, never would they be able to. You can go, brother. It's okay. If you need to go, you can go. No problem. MashaAllah. If they need to benefit you, never would they be able to benefit you except by that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you. MashaAllah. Okay, may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you all, brothers, sisters. If there's any sisters here, for your time, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us all from anything that may cause harm to us in this life and the hereafter. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are joined in a gathering in a far greater place with greater blessings in Jannat al-Na'im. جزاكم الله خيرا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن